But I'm telling you that this is what where he's at right now. He wants to make us, prepare us as a people for his works. And to be prepared for that work, we have to be upright in heart. We have to be pure. We have to be godly. Otherwise we will fall into condemnation. If I'm walking in sin, I see all kinds of snares and so on and so forth. So I have to be free from that. Otherwise, I really can't do much. I'm very limited. Verse 20 of Ephesians 3 says, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. There's a power working in us, which is more powerful than we could ask. I mean, you can't even ask to the degree which that power is available. You can't even think. I mean, you don't even ask. I mean, it just enters your mind. It has not even entered the mind of man how powerful that power is. But again, if we don't receive the resurrection from the dead, we die. Just like everybody else, we look like everybody else, we just look kind of goofy. But when God testifies of us in that testimony, when he raises us from the dead and redeems our body and gives us an uncorruptible, undecayable, eternal body, that is the ultimate victory. That is the ultimate salvation. And that is the end of salvation. That's when it's accomplished. Verse 6. Though the works were finished from before the foundation of the world, when he knew us before, when he chose us by his grace. Verse 6. Wherein, meaning in that inheritance, in that lively hope. Remember, hope, every time in the New Testament you see the word hope, it does not mean like, oh, I hope we get there on time, meaning I doubt we're going to. Or there's some doubt whether we will or we won't. And I really want to get there on time. That's what we think of as hope in English. But the Greek word hope means expectation. I have a lively expectation. I have a lively, what I am expecting in my future is living. It is a living hope, a living expectation. I suppose in that sense that it grows. You start off thinking small, and as your faith grows, you think big through faith. Yes, there's that body, but there's more. Verse 6 again, we're going to start. Wherein, in that hope, we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now think about that. For most people, what is the end of your faith? What the beginning of your faith is the salvation of your soul. I want you to repeat after me, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save my soul from hell. Now, if you said those words with me and believe them in your heart, your soul has been saved. That's the beginning of salvation. For most people, the salvation of their souls. And that's also the end, true. But, our souls are saved when we are raised from the dead. Because as all the teachings in the New Testament and the Old Testament agree, when we die, we will be buried, and we will wait there the resurrection. As Paul says, hey, because Peter has the resurrection in mind, I want you don't understand what is meant by that. He says, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, if they were in heaven, he could have said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are in heaven. But no, they are asleep. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We have an hope expectation. We expect something. What? Where Paul says, hey, if you already have what you expect, why do you yet hope for it? Meaning, if they're already raised from the dead, why expect anything more? Why even have a resurrection of the dead if they're already in heaven? And as Paul said, hey, there are people who err concerning the faith, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have said the resurrection is even now come. And I don't mean the spiritual resurrection of from sin to righteousness. No, I mean that, they mean that one when you die. Oh, the dead are already with him. Liars. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Hey, that's from 1 Thessalonians 4. If you need to know more about that, you should study 1 Thessalonians. I already have that study out. Go back and tune up there. Because that's a very important doctrine in Christianity. The resurrection of the dead, it's one of the most apostatized from pillars of our faith. Meaning, so many have departed from the faith in that regard. And it's funny because you have and from faith to faith, from all these denominations, I mean, they all have totally forsaken the teaching of the Lord concerning that. So back in 1 Peter, you rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in great heaviness. What is heaven? I gotta know what heaviness is. It means grieved. Sadness or distress, grief, through what? Manifold, which means various in character. It means there's different kinds of temptations. We really looked at this in James, because James had a lot to say about temptation in the first couple of chapters, right? And you can go back there and read even more about it. But temptation, works patience, James has said. And he said, count it all joy. Okay, it's hard to count it joy. Now, temptations isn't always to sin. Temptations can come not just like, oh, boy, that